honor to be with you. I'm very happy to be with you too. I'm very thankful to Mother Lakshmi Moni for inviting me, for giving me this opportunity. And Mother Lakshmi Moni told me that you are studying this wonderful book, and you are on the verse number 5 and 4. Tishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshati cheta pranatibhishtya bhajanta nisham shushaya bhajana vidya manandya manya nindadi shunya hridamipsita sangalabdhya. So Srila Rupa Goswami gives in gist here the whole science of devotional service. Actually, it is explained that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after having a wonderful vision of the Supreme Lord in that beach in Jagannath Puri, and after being in ecstasy, he sat down with his devotees in the evening, and the sun was setting, and Rupa Goswami was there. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pronounced all these verses, which Rupa Goswami later wrote down. So it's coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And the main point of many of these verses is that it describes the progress in devotional service, which ultimately brings us to Radha Kunda, which is the manifestation of the Supreme Love. But in order to progress from stage to stage, you have to know how to associate properly with devotees. This is a very crucial point of devotional service, that the science of devotional service is actually a science of association, of taking proper association and giving proper association. Because you can degrade yourself by association very easily, and you can elevate your consciousness by association if you do it properly. Everything depends on association very much, and we have to understand this. This is a very important and essential point of the whole science, because by association we acquire the qualities of the people which we associate with, of the things which we associate with, and because we are dependent tiny living entities. So we have to know how to associate with each other. And the previous verse, of course, described how to express love. This is a very interesting and essential point again. The six forms of loving association which are described in the previous verse is actually media how to express love. We should not think that if I feed somebody with prasadam, or if I take prasadam, it's automatically love. It's just the media or means to express love. In other words, it is said there that you should give gifts and accept gifts, you should give prasadam and accept prasadam, and you should open your heart and listen how somebody opens your heart. But again, this is just external forms. In other words, you know, you can give somebody prasadam, somebody comes to you, and this is an art. At this point, you have to understand, this is my chance to express my love. And you have to give him prasadam with love. In Ayurveda, it is said that actually the digestion process is very difficult. You are young, you probably don't understand this. You have nice digestion. But very soon, you will experience that this is a very complicated process. But in Ayurveda, it is said that the 80% of digestion depends on with which feeling you are served prasadam. If you are served with love, then prasadam is very easily digestible. And if you serve without love, you know, somebody comes to you, you serve him prasadam, you know, you go to another one. Or, you know, if you give some gift to somebody, again, it's not the gift which counts. It's the feeling with which you give the gift. You may give somebody something big, you know, and you may think he has to be, you know, obliged to me till the end of his life because I gave him this big thing. But no, you may give something very little, very small. But if you do it with love, because again, this is the media, this is the means of expressing love. And Rupa Goswami teaching us very strongly, is teaching us very strongly here in these verses that with Vaishnavas we should express love. And whatever we should do with love. Because it's a science also. Nowadays people, they don't know how to associate with each other with love. Like somebody complained to me that, you know, nowadays people cannot even accept gifts. Especially Vaishnavas, you try to give them something and they say, no, I don't need this, no, get out of here. So, but no, this is, if somebody gives you something, you have to take it with love. If you give something, you have to give it with love. If somebody gives you prasadam, you should take it with love. And when you give prasadam, you should also give it with love. And if you open your heart, you should express love in this way. This is a very essential part of being happy. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says a very beautiful thing. He says that the very same feeling of love, or the very same emotion of love which we want to develop towards God, if it is directed towards Vaishnavas, it becomes friendship. And if the same feeling is directed towards fallen people, it becomes compassion. It's not a different emotion. The friendship with Vaishnavas is manifestation of love. And proportionately, as much as we can love Vaishnavas, or be friends with Vaishnavas, we love Krishna. Actually, this is the sign of our development of love of Krishna. Our development of love of Krishna is, the love is as strong as we can manifest or express our friendship towards other Vaishnavas. This is another very essential point. So, Rupa Goswami is teaching us that we have to really know how to associate with Vaishnavas. And in the previous verse, in the fourth verse, he said that this is the ways of general ways of expressing love and appreciation. If you want to express love and appreciation, give somebody something or give him some prasadam or say something confidentially to him. And in this way, you're not only expressing your love, but you're also developing your love. That's another very essential point of this verse. This is the means of expressing love, but it's also the means of developing love. If we know that love is good, if we know that love is this feeling which makes us happy, then this is the way to learn how to love. You give somebody prasadam, and you do it with as much feeling as you can. And then you're already feeling some love towards this person. Like in India, if you go, and if you're being served prasadam, it's just unbelievable. They just, you know, whenever you finish something, they already put something else, and for the same prasadam. And they do it with such a genuine love that you don't feel like rejecting it. You eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until you're this big. But this is an art. This is art which we have to learn every day in our life. When we serve prasadam, when we take prasadam, we should understand that this is the essence of life. This is the means to be happy. Because human being cannot be happy without love. I often say this, that just imagine that you have everything in the world, everything which you can imagine. You know, Mercedes cars, big homes in Hawaii's, and whatever you may imagine in your wildest dreams. But nobody loves you and you don't love anyone. Would you be happy? No way. No way. You know, no matter how much you have, if you don't have love in your heart, you will not be happy. And vice versa, if you don't have anything but you have love for everyone and everyone loves you, you will be happy. I guarantee you. Somebody may say, it's better to have love and to have something. You know? but actually, the only sure thing is that we should have love in our heart. And Rupa Goswami teaches us, this is the way how to develop love. And in this particular verse, he elaborates on the same point, actually. Because in general, we have to be friends with Vaishnavas, and we have to relate nicely with them, and we have to serve them. But then, there is a gradation. We have to develop our intelligence. We have to see who is who belongs to which category, And here it is said, Krishneti yasya giritam manasa vriyate. If somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, right? If somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, he is Vaishnava. This is the definition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If somebody pronounced Krishna once, he is who?
Krishna.
He's Vaishnava. And it means that you have respect him. And respect, you know, if he is not maybe first class Vaishnava, you have to take little distance from him. Because as I said, if somebody is a beginner, he may have bad qualities. And if I associate too intimately with him, we may accept or we may kind of be contaminated by his qualities. Like if you too intimately associate with somebody who has bad qualities, you will receive the same qualities in your heart. This is another very important point, that the desires in the heart are contagious. And you will experience it, and you probably already know this. If you associate with somebody who has strong desire in the heart to have something material, then immediately you feel the same desire. Like, you know, if you associate with somebody who likes very nice fancy dress, and you speak with this girl, you know, and she's always speaking, you know, this dress and this sari and this earring and that earring. And you immediately feel like, I also need this, right? I also need this sari and this earring and that earring. You know. Even if you are sannyasi, you will feel like putting some other dress. Because this is the way how it works. If you intimately associate with somebody, this is the way through which, this is the channel through which the desires come to our heart. So we have to be careful about this. And Rupa Goswami explains that one has to develop this discrimination. If somebody has bad qualities, you respect him. Manasa adriyata. Adriyata means respect. And respect is an extremely essential quality. Because if you know how to show respect, and if you know, if this ability to express respect is very firmly established in your heart, then it means you are a religious person. Actually, this is the foundation of civilized society. In Western culture, there is a culture of disrespect. You know, if people go to school, then they learn how to disrespect anyone and everyone. If you just read newspapers, this is a very good school how to disrespect everyone and anyone. You know, in the newspapers, you see this one is being criticized, and this is bad, and this is bad, and nobody has respect towards anyone. And ultimately, it deprives your heart from the possibility to believe in Krishna. Because our ultimate respect is towards Krishna, and if we don't learn how to show respect towards others, we will never do this. This is very essential point, and therefore this education which you get here is so essential. It's the foundation of life. This is actually, in Vedic civilization, first thing which you have to learn is how to express respect. The little children, they have to go to their parents and they have to bow down first thing in the morning. And we don't want this. I live now, because our temple is demolished, so I temporarily live with a big house where some grihasthas live. And this grihastha family, they have little child. And they teach this child. You go to Goswami Maharaj and you bow down to him every morning. So he's the boy of 5 years old, and he's a very mischievous boy. And every morning he unwillingly comes to my room and he looks. And then he looks around. And if he sees that there is no parents, then he just say, Hari Bol, and run away. If the parents are there, he goes down, you know, very quickly, and then again. Because we don't want it. Our heart, materially contaminated heart, means we don't respect anyone. And this is the contamination. So, in the beginning of life, from the very beginning of life, we should learn how to respect others. And we should, actually, there should be some sacred things in our hearts, and means that we have to respect whoever is senior to us, basically. Because guru means somebody who is more senior to us. Our teacher is guru, our father is guru, our mother is guru, and this culture of respect is extremely essential, because ultimately we will learn how to respect Krishna, how to obey God and His laws. Without this, without this school, we will be totally atheistic people. And our life will be very bad because of this, very degraded. So the first thing which Rupa Goswami says, you have to learn, if he is a Vaishnava, you have to respect him, no matter who he is, no matter which quality are there, but you can do it from a distance. So this is the first lesson. And Mother Lakshmi Moni told me that the crux of this lesson or topic is that how to judge others, but not to be judgmental. How to see the qualities of people, because this is intelligence, and we have to know. We have to know, this is good, this is bad. Actually, this is one of the main lessons of how to develop intelligence. Intelligence in Sanskrit is called, there is a certain shakti within our mind, which is called viveka shakti. And viveka shakti basically means the ability to discriminate. Ability to say, this is good, this is bad. And the scriptures, shastras, they teach us this very point. This is good, this is bad, this you should do, this you should not do. And you are as intelligent as you are capable of discriminating between good and bad, between good things and bad things. So this is definitely what we should learn. But at the same time, this discrimination does not mean that we judge everyone and we say he's, you know, because everyone has weak points and whatever. So we have to, at the same time, we have to respect everyone. We have to see realistically the quality, but at the same time to respect. You can ask me how to do this.
How to do this?
And I don't know. But one thing I know, we have to respect. Whoever is more senior to us, we have to, like, in front of me there is a very good example of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And perhaps you know something about ISKCON history, and there was this disciple of Prabhupada whose name was Kirtanananda Swami, and who did many good things, and he did some other bad things as well. Whenever Radhanath Maharaj speaks about, and usually we, you know, hear some remarks about him which may not be very good, and they call him Kirtanananda. Wherever Radhanath Maharaj speaks about him, he calls him Kirtanananda Maharaj with great respect. At the same time, he knows he is the one who experienced in his life, you know, all these deviations which were there, which were very painful. But at the same time, this respect is there. So this is very essential. This is the first lesson of civilized life, to learn how to be respectful to anyone who has some authority over us. Because if anyone has some authority, we tend to, you know, we don't like him. Because, you know, he's a big guy and I'm a small guy. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as you all know, probably, he says that we have to train our mind by beating him. Every morning we have to take the broomstick and beat the mind with the broomstick. Right? Do you do this? Do you have enough broomsticks? Enough. So he says, every morning you have to do this. But he explains what it means. Who knows what it means?
Broomstick is the holy name. So.
Yes, it's a holy name. But, yeah.
We get it from Mahalaji, we go into the deities and chant.
Yeah, but he's much more specific. Because he says that beating the mind with the broomstick in the morning means, besides chanting the holy name, going for deity greeting and guru puja and everything, is to tell the mind very strongly, you rascal, you should not see the faults in others. This is the first thing which we have to say to the mind. How many times?
Infinite.
108 times, at least. At least one round. We have to tell the mind, you rascal, because this is the nature of the mind. The mind will see little fault in somebody else, and he will try to use this fault for what? To establish what?
Superiority.
That I'm superior. You know, you see little fault, and this is very good excuse. You become very excited, right? You know, you see little fault in somebody else, and you become so enthusiastic and enlivened and almost ecstatic. You say, look, he has this. It means I'm higher than him. This is the program which is there in the mind. We have to know very clearly that this program is working in our mind. And as soon as we notice that mind is doing this, you have to what? Take the broomstick and smack. You know, you have to really do this. You should not see the faults in others. And then you should not, he says that beating the mind with the broomstick means you should not find the faults in others and you should not consider yourself great. This is two instructions which you have to very, you know, firmly follow. Therefore, in the very beginning, Rupa Goswami says, you have to love all Vaishnavas. And if Vaishnava is Kanishta Adhikari, if he has materialistic tendencies, you have to respect him, but not to come too close to him. Not to let his qualities to contaminate your heart. This is important. And then he said, Dikshati Chet Pranati Bhis Chabajantam Isham. If somebody is worshipping the Lord, bhajanta mission, with bhajan. If somebody is doing bhajan to the Lord, then you have to take diksha from him. Then you have to take, you have to pay dandavat, obeisances to him, and you have to take diksha from him. Or, in other words, you have to take instructions from him. Because ultimately, diksha means shiksha. And if you see somebody who is engaged in devotional service with his heart and soul, then if you want to progress, and that's actually the point which Prabhupada makes very strongly in this purport, that this particular verse describes the stages of Vaishnavas and how to progress. If you want to progress, do you want to progress in devotional service?
Yes.
Some of you. But those who want, they have to know how to associate with different grades of devotees. And if you see somebody who is really serving the Lord, then you have to pay obeisances to him. Because again, there is a very important teaching in the Vedic literature. It is said that as soon as you speak bad about somebody's faults, like I spoke before, that we have this tendency to find faults in others. As soon as we speak about somebody's faults, you know what happened in your heart? The fault comes in your heart. This very fault. It is said, I don't know exactly where, but it is said when you speak bad about somebody, even if it's true, but if you speak bad about him, then immediately there is a bridge between you and him. And through this bridge, this fault, what is doing? Walking, comes to your heart. You know, the same thing is said in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when Dharma the Bull says, you should not point out the sin. As soon as you do this, you are the sinner. The sin is yours. If you see the sin in somebody and if you point out to feel good about it, because we usually feel good about it when we point out somebody's fault, then this sin is coming to you, and you're guilty. And vice versa, if you glorify somebody's good qualities, what happens? Good qualities come to you. You try it. You will feel good about it.
You want to do talk? You get the same exact thing that you...
Yeah. That you criticize, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You reinforce, because this tendency is already there in your heart. But if you see it in somebody, and if you point out and criticize, and make it a point of your, you know, then you get this the very same thing, or you reinforce this tendency within your heart. And vice versa, if you glorify somebody, you feel good about it, and you feel that these good qualities are coming to you. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, she used to have this exercise, and you might try to do it too. If some of his disciples had a severe fight with each other, conflict, and sometimes the conflicts are so bad, you know, they go on for years, and people hate each other. So what he would do, he would call these two parties who have conflict. He would put them in front of him, and he would tell someone, you say something good about him. You try to find something good in him. And this man, he doesn't want to see him. He just doesn't want to look in his direction. He's there, you know. He says, no. The spiritual master guru says, you have to say something good about him. And he says, there is nothing good in him. There is nothing good. And then he says, no, you find something. He says, yeah. He has good tilak on his forehead. Because there is something good in everyone. And you say this and you immediately feel something good is coming to your heart. And you like it actually. And then you find something more and something more and something more. So the science of associating with Vaishnavas is to find good in them. And especially in this particular case, if you see that somebody is really serving Krishna with his heart and soul, then you have to pay obeisances to him. And by paying obeisances, actually, again, this is the way to get these qualities. It is said that when Krishna was speaking with Arjuna, right? Krishna was sitting there, Krishna was standing there, Arjuna was sitting there, and he was listening to Bhagavad Gita. Then Arjuna learned Bhagavad Gita. And Hanuman was there in the flesh, but he didn't learn Bhagavad Gita. You know why? Because he was up there. Because he was on the top. Even though he was hearing Bhagavad Gita, he couldn't learn. So the point here, if we see somebody who is worthy of becoming our teacher, who can teach us something, then our position should be we should pay obeisances to him. And by paying obeisances to him, we learn from him. This is the way to learn something very important. Because ultimately, what we have to learn? What are we learning? Do we learn shlokas?
Become devotee of Krishna.
Yeah, we have to learn how to become good people. We have to learn how to behave as human beings and how to behave as spirit soul, ultimately. We have to learn how to become spiritual beings. And if you see somebody who has this ability or who has this knowledge or who is on this position, Banjanta Mission, he is serving the Lord, then what you have to do? Yeah, Dandava. You have to pay obeisances to him. And in this way, you get something immediately. But just by paying obeisances, you're already getting something. And then he says, Sushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindari sunya hridam ipsita sanga labhyam. And if you see somebody who is totally free from this tendency to criticize others, Anya ninda adi sunyam hridam, whose heart has sunya, is totally free from this ninda, the desire to criticize others. Then ipsita sangalabhya, you have to really, hanker for his association. You have to get him, grab him, and take his association and be with him. And shushrushaya, you have to serve him. Shushrushaya means you have to be eager to serve. Bhajana Vigyam, if he is expert in this, highest science of devotional service. And again, Rupa Goswami makes the same point. When your heart is totally clear, what is the sign of it? Nindadi Sunya. All these faults, and the first fault is what? Ninda. Is desire to blaspheme others, is desire to criticize others, is desire to somehow or other find faults in others. When you are on the highest level of devotional service, your heart is totally free from this. And Just imagine for 1 second. We will have a moment of silence with you. And for 1 second you imagine that your heart is totally free from desire to criticize others. You have a very clear and transparent heart, and in this heart there is no bad feelings towards anyone. How would you feel? You feel good. Because when you have this, you feel relief. You know, you feel really good. Because, you know, you don't have any bad feelings towards anyone. Everyone is a devotee of the Lord. Everyone is serving in his capacity. Everyone is good. And this is how you become ultimately pure devotee. When you learn and struggle to get rid of this desire to criticize others. And when ultimately you're successful, then your heart is free, and then everyone will pay obeisances to you. Would you like this? Everyone will be eager to get your association. Actually, this is the people. If you see somebody who is a non-envious person, if somebody is really non-envious, doesn't have this envy in the heart, people, they just, you know, they're attracted to him. They want to be with him. You don't have, actually, Rupa Goswami doesn't even have to say this. Because if somebody has this pure heart without this desire to criticize others, just by being with him, what do you feel? You feel good and you feel elevated. Because he doesn't see bad in you. Because he doesn't see bad in you, you know, you like it when somebody doesn't see bad in you. And it means that your good qualities are, again, reinforced. Your good qualities are very strongly manifested in your heart. So this is basically the science of devotional service. And again, there is also very important instruction in this regarding this point, that there is one other effect of fault finding or criticizing others. Somehow or other people like it, I don't know why, but you know, newspapers is all about this criticizing others, and everyone likes it, especially behind the back, you know, backbiting, you know. Somebody is there. So Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manas Shiksha says, if you do this, you know what happens? Guess what happens? Besides you getting the same qualities which you criticize, there is another very important thing happens. You lose your spiritual intelligence. This is actually the way to completely lose ability to discriminate what is spirit, what is matter. You're being robbed with the spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is Mahadhan. It's the greatest treasure. Actually, this is the greatest treasure, because if you have this intelligence, if you have this ability to see this is good, this is bad, this is spirit, this is matter, this is eternal, this is non-eternal, this is happiness and this is total misery. If you know this, you will be happy through your whole life. Because you know how to discriminate. So if you criticize others, then the effect which is coming to your mind, you lose this ability to discriminate. You're dragging yourself down to this realm of material dualities. And you're lost. So that's another effect of this fault-finding and criticizing tendency. That's how bad it is. Therefore, actually it's interesting, Rupa Goswami says here, Anya ninda adi sunya. Ninda adi, anya ninda adi sunya. He says, adi, there are some other faults in our heart. And if you see somebody whose heart is totally free from other faults, it's okay. But the main characteristic of the fault or contamination in the heart is what? Yeah, to see the faults in others. To desire to criticize others. To desire to blaspheme others, to desire to spread rumors about others, to gossip, you know. And do you like gossip? Of course you do. We all like. But we have to be really careful about it. And if we follow these instructions, our life will be happy and atmosphere will be nice. And as soon as we break these instructions, violate these instructions, everything is spoiled. You know. I've been living in different environments, in different atmospheres. If in a temple people gossip with each other, you feel like drowning yourself in Ganges or somewhere because it's so bad. Everything just goes down. And vice versa, if you are in an atmosphere where everyone respects each other, where everyone tries to find good qualities in others and associate nicely with others, you feel totally uplifted and, you know, totally enthusiastic in this atmosphere. So it all depends on you, how you behave. Either you will be very happy or you will become miserable. If you let this tendency or propensity in your heart manifest, everything is spoiled. And if you curb it, if you check it, then you will be able to be happy even now. So, yeah, this is my little thoughts on this.
At the beginning of your discussion, thank you very much for that wonderful discourse, but in the beginning of your discussion you said that we had to choose our association, and some people might have bad qualities and we should keep some distance from them, even they're chanting Hare Krishna. And actually when you were going through the three levels, in the middle you said when you see somebody who's serving Krishna with bhajan, then you should offer obeisances to them. And so we see in ISKCON, especially here, there are many, many senior devotees here, 200 Prabhupada disciples in this community. And many of them have been, you know, very senior, very long-term practicing Krishna consciousness and stuff. But still you can see that they're not following some of the rules and regulations, or maybe they're not doing X, Y, or Z, something right. What to speak of the other devotees besides those devotees that are way, you know, that are senior. There are some that are not quite as senior, or maybe there's peers. And so it seems like what you're saying is, or what Rupa Goswami is saying, is that on one hand we have to separate them, and on the other hand we can't see the qualities that we separate them by. So then how do you do that?
As I said, because you don't have to associate intimately with everyone, right? Moreover, you cannot do this. You only have some certain capacity to associate closely with some people. So as far as your close association is concerned, you have to be very choosy. As far as your general association is concerned, it has to be respectful. It has to be very, very respectful no matter what. But you do not necessarily very closely associate with them or mingle with them or whatever, because there is a chance of... But at the same time, you have to be respectful. You should not really try to find faults. That's it. And, of course, if you have the capacity or ability to change the person by your, you know, spiritual power, then you can associate closely with them. It's no problem. But if you don't have this capacity, then better.
There's one thing you said at the beginning that I was really attracted to hearing more about, and then it kind of got lost. And that what you said, that Rupa Goswami said, that when you're dealing with people who are devotees, it becomes manifest as love, and when you're dealing with people who are not devotees, it becomes manifest as compassion.
Yes.
And you didn't really develop that idea. I'd like to hear more about that.
It's not Rupa Goswami, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says the very same feeling which is towards Krishna, it's prema. When it manifests towards, directed towards devotees, Vaishnavas, it's friendship. And when it's directed towards fallen people or poor people, it's compassion. And basically, yes, if we have love, it means we have compassion. If we have love of God, it means we have compassion towards others. And compassion means that if somebody is fallen, we don't take his association, but we give him association. And this is also explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur how it works. He says that the trick here is, if you associate with somebody, and you get attached to him, and through this attachment you get his bad qualities. And if you are associating with somebody who is fallen, and or you get dependent on him, you get bad qualities. Let's say if I put myself in a position being dependent on somebody who is fallen, for sure I will get bad qualities. But if I associate with the same person who has bad qualities, but at the same time I'm not dependent on him, I'm not attached to him, but I really want to help him, then there is no harm, in a sense. So that's what it is, how to associate with people who may not have good qualities, but at the same time not get attached to them in a bad sense. Not get dependent on them. Not get, kind of... Yeah. Yeah, that's how it works. If you are dependent on somebody, then you get all his bad qualities, for sure. Is there any other questions at this point? Some other thoughts? Yes?
Maharaj, you said that Mataji had said that, how you have to tell us about not being judgmental, but being able to judge us. You don't know anything about it. You don't want to say about it, I guess. And I was just thinking, how can we as being really fallen, how can I be, because we don't want to judge in a way that we'll be criticizing others, because they could be whatever stage of devotional service they are. So how can we be able to see whom can we seeing the three different categories of devotees?
It's like this. Of course, one very essential point of this verse is that it's a fact, you're right. You can only see the three different categories of devotees if you are on